Bruce Campbell, a senior at Holden High School in June 1971, made this tape of the Holden fire, which follows. The tape was transcribed from the original cartridge and consequently is a little noisy. Also, Bruce affects a country accent, which sometimes makes him a little difficult to understand. But bear with it, all the facts are there about the Holden, the great Holden fire.
You helped me all my life. I'm planning on living the rest of it here too. A young fellow came up to me the other day and says, "Mr. Plummer, what can you tell me about the great fire of 1902? Well, seeing how this young fellow was aching for a story, I said to him, "Well, boy, I can tell you lots about the great fire of 02, seeing how my home was burnt down in that blaze, along with 74 other homes, 20 businesses, and 3 churches. I recall it was a Saturday in May, the 17th to be exact. What a strange day, a very strange day. We were from the northwest and I reckon it blew at 20 knot or better. As a matter of fact, a young fellow at that time went by the name of Putnam. Aaron Putnam, that'd be Albert Keyes, boy. Well, he was hauling on some taters out on the west bank of the Bee, right out there on the Smyrna Road. He rode out there during the whole afternoon on a fire. Well, seeing how he was upwind of the fire, he couldn't smell no smoke. He commenced hauling that field all day long. He didn't know a thing of the fire until he went home for supper at 5 o'clock. Imagine that. Going to work in the morning and coming back seeing half the town burned down. Well, I reckon that shows you what the wind was like that day. Well, come about high noon or a little better, small fire broke out in the back of Allman Farm Hardware Store. Well, it wasn't long after that that the whole north side of Main Street was afire from Mechanic Street clear up to my place. Just after my place started to burn, Sam Weber, he's the captain of the fire department, or was at that time, he arrived on the scene then. He had about, 25 boards with him. The water pressure was low, so the best they could do was try and stop the fire from spreading. No such luck. Like I already said about that wind, it was strong and was steady. As a matter of fact, the first home to be leveled by the blaze was Walt Yetton. Now, Walt lived clear up on Spring Street at that time, 3/4 of a mile away from where the fire started. Well, the fire jumped across Main Street and caught onto the Thibodeau block and worked its way down Main. Fire at Court Street. Sam Weber and his boys were lucky enough to save the Exchange Hotel. But if they hadn't, all them county buildings would have gone up in smoke for sure. Then the young feller asked me, what were the businesses that were lost? So I says to him, well, now that's a pretty hard thing to recollect entirely. Naturally, parks burned down. The Dewey Hotel was lost, along with Martin Lawless's livery stable, Riley's fish market, poor little old Warren Sheen's hand laundry, Dennis Sheehan's harness shop, and Collins' marble work. The Fairweather boarding house was leveled. So was Campbell's Bakery, Mrs. Orr's millinery store, Will Foss's stable, L.W. Dwyer's grocery store, C.F. Thorne's stove store, the millinery store of Gillen and Simcox, S.L. Somerville's grocery store, and the Keaton and Vet Furniture Store, along with its three-floor storehouse in the back. About all I can recollect right now. Well, seeing how that young fellow was pretty involved in my yarn, I went on. Then the fire swept up through the Monument Park. Of course, there wasn't any Monument Park there then. There wasn't any Broadway Street there then either. Only things were there were about 20 small homes or better and three churches. Fire whipped up that entire area. Remember, the Unitarian and the Baptist churches burned just about the same time. And the Methodist church didn't wait around too long until it came pile of cinder too. Sam Weber was getting pretty desperate and called over home for help. Luke Stark applied with the steamer, 20 boys, and about 900 feet of hose. Fort Fairfield, Caribou, and Presque Isle came too, but they didn't get here until about 6, so they were too late to help an awful lot. Fire wiped out practically all of Kelvin Street and did a pretty darn good job on our street. The Two Classical Institute escaped the fire, and heaven only knows how. Well, come dawn the next day, the fire had stopped. You know, boy, the miraculous thing about it all is that no one lost their lives in the fire. You know, boy, it seems when a disaster like that occurs, people don't seem to give up, but they seem to band together and fix whatever broke. That's what the people of Houlton did. Yes, sir. 3 days after the fire, Fox started to rebuild. They passed a new ordinance in the town saying all buildings in the downtown area were to be built out of brick. That's why Houlton's the way it is today, boy. Now, I'm not saying that everyone was on good behavior during and after the fire. Why, while some folks were removing the furnishings of their homes, other folks had carted them all away. The National Guard was called out on order by the governor to prevent any pilfering or such. I reckon the biggest financial loss from the fire was Fogg's Hardware Store. All in all, I recollect they lost nigh on $36,000 or better. The heaviest loss was that of the B&A Railroad. You see, it was during noontime, and their offices were right up over Fogg's on the second floor there, and all their records were lost when Fogg's burned down. But, like I said, not everything was lost. Only half of it. Worth about $500,000. They rebuilt that other half into the million-dollar town you see today, boy. Well, that's about all I can do for you, boy. At least when the Great Fire of '02 is concerned. But, if you want to know anything about the old town meeting, I'll be happy to. Well, now, if that don't beat all, that young whippersnapper got right up and walked away without so much as saying thank you.